Well, PSA, prostate-specific antigen, testing is widely used as a blood test to help assess a man's risk of prostate cancer. But its results could require careful interpretation alongside clinical advice. Joining us is Peter Dickens, who's the Chief Executive of the Prostate Cancer Foundation of New Zealand. Peter, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Waiate. Welcome. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
And thank you for taking our call a little earlier, Peter. I appreciate that. Why is the Prostate Cancer Foundation concerned about men increasingly turning to home PSA testing kits, Peter?
Well, around 350,000 laboratory PSA tests are ordered through healthcare professionals each year. And we believe that the number of home tests sold nationally through chemists and over-the-counter is likely to be in the low thousands. But we believe that the manufacturers of these tests are taking advantage of the rising cost of going to a GP and other barriers to raise the profile and the number of purchases of these tests. This is what we're hearing through our networks and from people coming to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for advice. And we just want to make sure that no one's negatively impacted by choosing to have a home test, because one person would be too many.
How accurate are they, mate?
This is the problem. They can be widely varying. Obviously, the manufacturers wouldn't put them out there if they didn't think that they were reasonably accurate. But there's not the same care that is taken through a test that you go to your local lab. At your local lab, you'll have a blood draw from a trained phlebotomist, and the sample will be looked after very carefully between when it's taken and when it's analysed. There's not that same guarantee that the sample will be looked after properly, that the device will produce an accurate result. And in any case, the thing is that a single PSA number is not what you need to accurately interpret your risk of prostate cancer. PSA testing can't be taken in isolation. It's a risk marker. And it's got to be interpreted alongside factors such as age and family history, ethnicity, prostate size, medications, existing health conditions, and other PSA results that you may have had in order to properly interpret it.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Knowing some guys on this very journey as we speak too, and of our age, I'm curious to know, A, how prevalent prostate cancer is in New Zealand men, and might you be kind enough, if you're aware, to touch in on some sort of ethnic information, whether Māori are more susceptible to prostate cancer as we are in other sort of health challenges, Peter. A bit of an update on that regard, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more prevalent than you might think, in the sense that it is now the second leading cause of cancer death in New Zealand men. Below lung cancer, but above bowel cancer. Just to repeat that, more men are dying of prostate cancer than dying of bowel cancer in Aotearoa, New Zealand. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed in their lifetime. That translates into around 4,500 diagnoses of prostate cancer a year, and around 740 men die. In terms of ethnicity, it is more prevalent, and your risk is very much higher in Afro-Caribbean men. Our understanding at the moment is, in fact, that Māori men are less likely to be diagnosed with prostate cancer, but the problem is that that's counteracted by the fact that they're almost twice as likely to die from the disease than other men once they have been diagnosed. And this comes back to one of the issues as to why home tests are becoming more prevalent. It's becoming harder and harder to access primary care in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So getting in to see a GP, which is where you can access screening and proper screening and detect prostate cancer, really is becoming harder and harder.
Tēnā koe. Was it surfacing in men as much, you know, back in the 1960s? It seems to be something that we're more aware of now, and the prevalence of it, than we have ever been before, Peter.
That's possibly because we have an ageing population. The guidance is that you should start getting tested for prostate cancer at 50 if you have no other risk factors. At 45, if you have a close family relative, your brother or your father or your grandfather, has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, or from age 40 if you believe there's a genetic predisposition in your family. So if you have a strong family history of breast cancer, of ovarian cancer, as well as prostate cancer, or indeed another syndrome called Lynch syndrome, There is, you may likely be more genetically predisposed to the disease. So as our population has aged, there are more people being diagnosed with prostate cancer, and therefore we become more aware of it. But also, we'd like to think that, you know, there are organisations like ours and health professionals who are passionate about this, because prostate cancer is one of those diseases where if we catch it early, we can cure it. And so we've been out there banging the drum and making sure that men are aware of prostate cancer and that they do what they need to do to get the best outcome if they're ever diagnosed. And that means getting a yearly warrant of fitness, going into your GP and getting yourself checked over, even if you feel well.
Thank you. Our guest this morning, Peter Dickens, is the CEO of the Prostate Cancer Foundation of New Zealand. Peter, it can have quite a devastating impact on the emotional stability of guys who are diagnosed with prostate cancer. And to be honest, most of us blokes don't know what the treatments are, what journeys this will involve, and, you know, the potential of it being fatal. So I can sense that talking with your GP through this journey, if you will, would be more beneficial than just trying to come to terms with it with a test at home. But what sorts of emotional support is available to men, bearing in mind most of us are unclear about what the prostate cancer journey will be?
That's exactly right. This is one of the reasons why we believe that there should be clinical supervision to testing for prostate cancer, because a normal result that is yielded from a home test doesn't necessarily mean that a man is free from clinically significant prostate cancer. And a mildly elevated result, as indicated by a home test, can also do the opposite and create unnecessary worry and lead to investigations that may not be needed. So you really need the guidance of a health professional who can provide you with that reassurance and give you the real story on what your own personal situation is. There's a lot that's known about prostate cancer and a lot that can be done, but the one truth is the same as with all cancers, which is that early detection saves lives. And early detection in the case of prostate cancer means detecting it before it starts causing symptoms. Detecting it before it starts causing symptoms means having a relationship as you get into middle age and older with a health professional that you see once a year for a full workover.
Men's health at times seems to take a back seat to wider whānau health and sometimes wahine health, Peter. Like, as an example, you mentioned that prostate sits between lung and bowel cancer as the nation's killers cancer-wise. I just received a bowel cancer screening kit in the post. Nothing about prostate as yet, with no national screening program currently in place. What should men be doing to make informed decisions about prostate cancer testing, and why should that be so that we have a national bowel screening program but not prostate?
Well, this is true. The government's decision not to invest in a prostate cancer screening pilot, which would be the logical next step, is really disappointing, and we're really quite angry about it at the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Every year, around 740 men are dying from prostate cancer, and we continue to delay the implementation of a structured program that could help identify cancer, you know, identify prostate cancer earlier and save lives. And as a result, people are turning to half measures, such as the home tests that you can buy over the counter from chemists. We're really hoping that the political parties commit to taking steps to improve the early detection of prostate cancer in their manifestos for the election. We're also hoping that those parties that are in a position to form the government following the election have it on the table as part of coalition talks, just as they have with regard to other cancers, the other cancers that you mentioned, such as breast and cervical cancer and others.
Tēnā koe. Are there other treatments in other countries for prostate cancer that we don't support or make available in New Zealand? Are some guys heading offshore when the threat looms large, Peter?
They absolutely are. New Zealand is unfortunately behind the eight ball when it comes to, there is a term that's used called standard of care, and that's the internationally recognised standard of, you know, what is the best way to treat prostate cancer. And unfortunately, in other countries, in terms of, you know, systemic treatment, so medicines, in terms of surgery and in terms of radiotherapy in comparable health systems to ours, which are taxation funded, and there's a public health system that's free to all, they have access to superior treatments than we have here in New Zealand. And probably one of the most striking aspects of this is in medicines. We have not had a new medicine funded for the treatment of prostate cancer in over 10 years. And you'll see that I think there'll be a lot of talk about this in the lead up to the election, what we're doing with Pharmac and how we fund medicines to treat our population really needs some serious work.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much, Peter. Guys, be mindful of this. The home testing kits, while they could give you an indication, really you want to be talking through these issues with your doc. Let's keep each other as safe as we can. Peter Dickens, CEO, Prostate Cancer Foundation of New Zealand. Thank you, Peter, for your time.
Tēnā koe. Kia ora, thank you.
Thanks a lot.